I must be completely devout. I can't have even one shred of doubt.
Doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones, the podcast that tries different stuff and sometimes even tries it again. I'm Glenn Ostlund. So this morning, while I was soaking in my bubble bath, I started to think to myself, hey Glenn, how you doing? And a little later after that, I thought, you know what, buddy? We've never really actually done any serious, hard-hitting, investigative, journalistic reporting on Infants on Thrones. What if we did? What if we had a kind of mini-sode series called something like Infant Investigative Journalism 101? But then I thought back to myself, you know, not all the other guys have been all that thrilled using 101 in our titles before. It may be their anti-academic bias. And then I also thought, yeah, you're totally right there. Plus, how many mini-sode series have we started that never really made it past one or two episodes? Letters to God.
This is Infants on Thrones.
The TBM Whisperer. Carl the Casual Satanist.
It's Carl the Casual Satanist.
Church House Rock.
It's Church House Rocky, a ship off the block. From your favorite Church House Rock.
Not to mention all the mini-sode series that we've thought about doing, but never actually done yet. Battlestar Infantica.
There are those who believe that life here began out there.
Infants on Game of Thrones.
This is Infants on Game of Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with dragons. We are the Soul Sibling.
Retarded Development.
And now the story of a Mormon family who lost their faith, and the one son who had no choice but to keep them all together. It's Retarded Development.
And so then I thought, well, why even bother? But then I got an idea.
You know the saddest thing about this whole introduction? I recorded this 2 years ago, May 2015, and we still haven't done a lot of those things that I said in there. But guess what? Today we've got another installment of investigative whatever we're calling it 101. Yay! So this one is about that 12-year-old girl, Savannah, who bore her testimony in church, and the video that has been just blowing up the internet, just blowing it up with all kinds of discussion around it. And I saw today on Facebook a link to Fair Mormon, and Fair Mormon has done a pretty bang-up job of taking this awful thing that isn't really an awful thing and putting it back into its right context. So I'm going to read to you in investigative journal style from the Fair Mormon blog, and I want to start off with this statement. Fair Mormon is an organization dedicated to setting the record straight when Gentiles, aka the world, are not fair to Mormons. Context is our rally cry. Things that make us look bad only make us look bad in the eyes of the world, and it only makes us look bad when those things are taken out of context. To make those so-called bad things look good again, they must be placed into the proper context. That proper context is this. 1. Mormons do not do, believe, or think anything wrong because God. 2. Mormons are God's chosen people. 3. God directly leads and guides the Mormon people through living prophets and specially empowered leaders like bishops and state presidents who have stewardship over us all. But this all goes back to God. 4. And God is good. 5. So we are too. And not only is that a chiasmic context for all of you to chiasmically enjoy with your chiasms, never mind. Use this context on any so-called Mormon problem, and that so-called Mormon problem immediately goes away. Because context. Also, so-called has so many uses. This is not actually a statement from fairmormon.org. So there you go. And without any further ado, let's launch right into our investigative journalist 101 thing. A fair Mormon thing. It's going to be so hard-hitting and awesome and it's like a monster truck rally for your ears. FairMormon.com presents Of Testimonies and 12-Year-Olds, written by Scott Gordon, published June 18, 2017. Recently, a video has been on social media about a 12-year-old young woman speaking in a testimony meeting about being gay. This is being promoted as a heartfelt moment of tenderness, only to be ruined by the bad stake leader who happened to be on the stand that day, who asked her to sit down. The mom writes, quote, "This stake member chose to hurt my child. I don't know his reasons," end quote. Okay, so let's put this in context.
Understanding LDS church meetings.
Each Sunday, Mormons meet together. Our most sacred meeting is called Sacrament Meeting. According to the Church Handbook of Instructions, 18.2.2, it says, quote, "Each sacrament meeting should be a spiritual experience in which members of the church renew their covenants by partaking of the sacrament. Other purposes of sacrament meeting are to worship, provide gospel instruction, perform ordinances, conduct ward business, and strengthen faith and testimony," end quote. Basically, it's a place where we blow smoke up each other's asses and tell each other how great we are. Oh, wait, it doesn't actually say that. My bad. In instructions given to church leaders, we read, quote, "Bishops and branch presidencies need to plan sacrament meetings thoughtfully in order to keep the meeting focused on the Lord and His atonement, His example, and the doctrines of the gospel," end quote. One Sunday each month, members have a special sacrament meeting called Fast and Testimony Meeting. Prior to attending the meeting, members typically go without eating two meals. This fasting is to put themselves into a spiritual frame of mind of worship. Usually, members take the money saved from fasting and put it towards feeding the poor. Please take one moment for a moment of silence to celebrate and bask in the warm glow of our own awesomeness. This, too, is part of context building. As part of that meeting, after the sacrament, or communion, the conducting brother bears a testimony. He then invites the members to bear brief, heartfelt testimonies of the Savior, His teachings, and the restoration, end quote. These testimonies are not speeches or talks. They are not pre-written. They are not a time for advocacy. They are short, extemporaneously expressed, heartfelt feelings about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we have been strengthened by it. On LDS.org, it says, quote, "A testimony is a spiritual witness given by the Holy Ghost. The foundation of a testimony is the knowledge that Heavenly Father lives and loves His children, that Jesus Christ lives, that He is the Son of God, and that He carried out the infinite atonement, that Joseph Smith is the prophet of God who was called to restore the gospel, that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the Savior's true church on the earth, and that the church is led by a living prophet today. With this foundation, a testimony grows to include all principles of the gospel," end quote. With this in mind, let's look at this incident.
The event.
From her mother,
we learn that Savannah has been struggling recently. Her dad and four siblings attend church regularly, while her mom stays home with, quote, our oldest, end quote. From context, that appears to be Savannah. Savannah was the one who wanted to do this. She had been pushing her parents for several months. Her mother says, quote, she wanted to be herself in front of them, see if church would be a place to accept her, and to speak up in case there was another LGBT person in the congregation that needed to hear they weren't alone, end quote. So, Savannah invited several of her friends to come hear her, and they recorded the event. Several in the ex-Mormon community, including the guy who sneaks into temples to record people, are now pushing hard to get this incident promoted to all of the press outlets and on social media. As this girl's parents know, fast and testimony meeting is not a place for giving speeches, which is what she did. She had her speech all written out and read it from the pulpit. I wish her parents had talked with her more about appropriate forums and venues. This isn't about whether a girl is struggling with her sexuality or about how a church leader handled it. This is a clear case of hijacking a meeting, promoting false teachings, and exploiting a child's inexperience to create a media event. Savannah was likely allowed to say much more from the pulpit than any adult would have been allowed to say. Her testimony starts out fine. Quote, hi, my name is Savannah, and I want to share my testimony with you. I believe I am the child of heavenly parents. I don't know if they talk to us, but I feel in my heart that they made me and that they love me. I believe that I was made the way I am, all parts of me, by my heavenly parents. They did not mess up when they gave me brown eyes or when I was born bald. They did not mess up when they gave me freckles or when they made me to be gay, end quote. That part is fine. Even mentioning her sexuality could be seen as appropriate within a testimony given during fast and testimony meeting. Next, in an actual testimony, you would expect something about how some life event has helped her to grow spiritually. But Savannah doesn't do that. She goes on advocating for her position by saying, quote, no part of me is a mistake. I do not choose to be this way, and it is not a fact. I know I am not a horrible sinner for being who I am. I know I can have all of these things as a lesbian and be happy. I believe that if God is there, He knows I am perfect just the way I am and would never ask me to live my life alone with someone I am not attracted to. In the middle of her speech, she says, quote, I believe God would tell me if I was wrong, end quote. Well, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we believe He did exactly that. We do not believe she is a horrible sinner for being who she is, but you will find our teachings on family and relationships clearly stated in the document titled, The Family, A Proclamation to the World. This is a fundamental belief of our faith. In essence, she is saying that she doesn't trust the teachings of Jesus Christ given through our prophets today.
The exit narrative.
While talking about the love of God, which we can all agree with, her speech was calling out the beliefs of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as false. It follows the pattern of a typical exit narrative, which reads, I used to believe the church was true, but now I find joy and happiness outside of church teachings. I hope you will give up your false beliefs and follow me. Anyone advocating that from the pulpit should be asked to step down, even if they are 12 years old.
Heavenly Father's plan.
Savannah is correct in stating that we are all unique. We are all born with various talents and gifts. We are all born with passions and desires. We're all born with weaknesses and frailties. Heavenly Father's plan is to have us learn to overcome our weaknesses and frailties. It is to control our passions and desires. It is to develop our talents and gifts. He gave us a set of guidelines called commandments that will give us the greatest amount of happiness and mortality and eternal life. The question is, if we believe and trust Him. None of us are perfect just the way we are. That is a child's point of view. All of us have difficulties. Many of us do have to live our lives alone. It is one of life's many challenges.
The future.
I wish Savannah the best, no matter what her future choices might be. I hope that her parents step in to de-escalate this event. Every child needs to be allowed to grow. I think of those young people I know who thought they were gay when they were 12 or 13 and are now in happy heterosexual relationships. I care for one of them very much. The rest can go to hell. Okay, no, it doesn't say that. I would hate to have had her in the headlines while she was deciding which direction her life might go. After Savannah spoke, the church leader conducting stood up and repeated the uplifting and true statements that Savannah made. There was no harsh language. There was no condemnation. There was no negative judgment. There was no lack of support for Savannah as a daughter of God. What occurred was a stake leader protecting the purpose of the sacrament meeting and refocusing it on the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was simply a case of inappropriate venue and advocacy. I'm Scott Gordon, and I can't see the difference between saying that we love people and actually doing it. Okay, it doesn't actually say that either, but you know what I'm saying. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Elder E. Eldon Elderman of the Seventh Quorum of the 70. When I'm not interviewing children about their masturbation practices, I monitor the Infants on Thrones podcast for the Strengthening the Members Committee. If you really like what you hear, you can jeopardize your eternal salvation by giving the Quorum a 5-star rating and writing a short review on iTunes. I didn't, but that's because I want to be resurrected with my genitalia intact. Anyone for the closing prayer?
You'll know it's all true, you'll just feel it.
You'll be a Mormon, by gosh, a Mormon. Just believe,
a Mormon. Just believe,
I believe,
a Mormon.
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.
I believe.